This is Pastor Jeff Chavis, the pastor of Church Online, an online community of faith at churchonline.com. But of course, I say this every week. We spell it uniquely. We spell it C-H-R-C-H. We say all that's missing is you. Churchonline.com. This morning, I want to make a bold statement, a challenging statement. I've been thinking about the spiritual gifts and kind of unpacking some of that this morning. And one of the things that has struck me is the church, I don't believe the church can ever reach its full potential unless every member of the body is using their spiritual gifts. Now, that sounds, again, very challenging, very bold statement, and I do have a reason for that. I'll give you the scriptures here in a minute, but just think about that for a moment. I mean, my church, your church, the church body as a whole, we're never going to fulfill everything that we could possibly do unless everyone begins using their spiritual gifts. And I know that's something that maybe in different churches, that's, well, this gift or that gift, or maybe we emphasize certain gifts above others. But the reality is we've been given these gifts for a reason. And I'm going to look at a passage in Romans 12 for a moment. But where do I get this bold statement from? Part of it has to do with Jesus' words in John 17. In John 17, some have referred to that as the high priestly prayer. Jesus is in the upper room with the disciples. We've had the Last Supper. We know what's coming. He knows the cross is ahead. And he prays. He prays for his disciples. He prays for us. Specifically, he prays for us in John 17, verse 20. It says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Did you hear those words? Jesus praying for those disciples, and then also praying for those who will believe, future tense, in Jesus because of their word. That's us. We believe in Jesus because of the gospels, because of this word that has continued, the gospel that has been spread throughout the centuries. And of course, his prayer was that we would be one. And notice the result. We are one. We are unified. And that the world will believe that God sent Jesus. In other words, us as the body of Christ, doing what God has called us to do in unity, is the way people are going to see and know and understand who Jesus is. Again, his words, not mine. He said that they may be one as we are one, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus' words. And I believe that those gifts are the keys to us being unified. Now, do I see a day when every church, every denomination would come together and work well together? Well, unfortunately, there are human beings involved. So we may never see complete unity. But if we begin to exercise our spiritual gifts, then we may see the tide change in this area. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, gifts, and maybe you've heard this, maybe you're familiar, maybe you're not. But Romans chapter 12, and I'll start in verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes about the gifts. He says, Romans chapter 12, verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, that everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. That's Romans 12, 3 through 5. And there's, you hear that unity statement again. We being many are one in Christ, but we're individually members of one another. And he talks about how each one of us has been given this measure of faith. Let me keep going. Verses 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. or in ministry. Let us use our ministering. He who teaches, teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who sows mercy with cheerfulness. He gives us some examples of some specific gifts, but the reality is it's all of the gifts. And of course, the purpose of the gifts is that it's the growth of the body. And I believe also, based on what Paul is saying, the unity of the body is going to come through these gifts. So let's take one, maybe one that seems simple or obvious. There's in this series that he gives us, prophecy, ministry, teaching. That's one that we probably could recognize easily. It doesn't take a lot of explanation. We think of individuals who are gifted teachers. My mother was a public school teacher, but you know, in your church, I'm sure, there are people that are just so good at it. That's what they do, whatever the concept may be. Even maybe a senior pastor will think, well, let's give this task to that person because he's the best one to teach us how to do this thing. And that's just one example of a gift. But we also recognize that in our church circle today, sometimes many gifts are just sort of sitting among the pews, maybe to your left, to your right, maybe sitting right where you are. That gift that God has given you, not being utilized, maybe partially because some of these gifts are not quite as easy to understand. Like the next one, exhorting and exhortation. Exhorting. Worshiping God, that's exhortation. How is that a gift? Well, sometimes I see that at work in musicians, but that's not the only way we can exhort, we can worship God. There's other ways as well. Those who give, to give it liberally. Those who lead, to lead with diligence. Those who show mercy with cheerfulness. These are all gifts. And by the way, I don't think this list is comprehensive because there are other lists. But I also don't think the scripture details every single gift that's available to us. I think there are some gifts that we may have, maybe something that is currently being used. And I recognize in my life, maybe this is true in your life as well. Maybe we learn things along the way. And sometimes we discover these new gifts that we didn't even know we had. Because maybe God gifts us for, you know, as in Esther, for such a time as this. Maybe God creates different gifts, new gifts, different types of gifts for this very time. And he may gift an individual in one area. So I think the tendency is for us to think that some gifts are more important than others. We might think preaching, teaching, that might be more important than, say, giving. But the reality is they all have an important function to play. And we think about that today in unity, in the growth of the body of Christ. And let me go back to that original statement again. I just don't think the church can live up to its full potential in the United States, around the world, until we all begin using these gifts together. So I'd encourage you today, if you don't know what your gift is, start praying, asking God, study the scripture, read about these gifts. Maybe you'll find that there is something there for you. Maybe if you don't think you have a gift, I would question that. And I believe that everyone has a gift if you are a follower of Jesus. But what is it and how do I use it? I think more than ever before, it's time for us to begin thinking about it and begin exercising those gifts as God has given to us.